Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we have been preaching and teaching through the book of Hebrews, and those lessons can't cover all the details, of course, so these podcasts are giving a bit more information. And today, we're in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 to 18. It reads, "In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood." And we're going to want to look at the old covenant aspects of blood a bit more in the next podcast. But here, as our writer continues to talk about the old and the new covenants, he's talking about this new will, this new covenant. The word will is a Greek word deatheke, here in verse 16 and 17, and it's the same word as covenant or testament. In secular Greek, it is a word used for a will or a legacy. In other words, this is a legal illustration here that the writer is using, and by using this legal terminology, he's telling us that this is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Messiah has come and has brought into effect a new covenant, a new will, a new testament, his last will and testament. And the Hebrew writer has been making this point very strongly all through the letter, because the people he's writing to are tempted to go back to a weaker, inadequate will and testament, an inadequate and weak covenant, the old one that was useful in pointing us to the significance of sin and pointing us towards the new covenant and pointing towards Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And now the writer is saying, since that new covenant has come, and since Christ has come, and he has, as high priest and king, instituted this new covenant and died so that it could be put into effect, and he has become a mediator, this is the last will and testament, and we do not want to go backwards. We can't do that. The will is in force only when somebody has died, and Jesus did die. It has taken effect now. And that he talks about how the first covenant in verse 18 was not put into effect without blood. Well, the old covenant was ratified with blood. That blood was sprinkled over the congregation as such, and therefore they became the people of the covenant, Exodus 24, verses 6 to 8. Moses took half of the blood, put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." A very very solemn ceremony going on there. But we have had something similar happen to us with superior blood, not the blood of bulls and goats and animals, but the blood of the Son of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. "We've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood." Sprinkling by his blood. It seems to me that the connection with the Lord's Supper is very strong here in Hebrews. Matthew 26, verse 28, Jesus said, "This is the blood of the covenant. This is, sorry, my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So his upcoming sacrifice at that point was the blood of the covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. There are more references to the blood of Jesus in the New Testament than to his cross or to his death. And that's a rather interesting thought, because in our preaching and teaching, we mostly talk about his death and the cross. We don't talk so much about the blood of Jesus and its significance. I would suggest that it might be a good idea to look up references in the New Testament to the blood of Jesus and do a Bible study on it and deepen our understanding and our appreciation of what it means for this blood to have been shed and for it to have instituted the new covenant. For it's because of that that we have a relationship with God. There's a lot to be said about this, but we'll have to leave it for today, and we'll go on to verse 19 next time. If you'd like to know more about our work as a church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org. And in iTunes, you'll find us if you type MCCX into the search bar and look under podcasts. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.